Hi everyone, and welcome back to Travel Notes, a show where we use music as a medium to explore ways in which we are all connected. I'm your host, Grace McNally, and if you happen to be tuning in to today's show via the FM radio dial or online stream, thank you for tuning in to WOHM Radio 96.3 FM. And for those of you tuning in via your favorite streaming platform, I appreciate you as well. If you like what you hear on today's show, you can find us on social media at travelnotes_podcast. I'd love to connect with you and hear what you think about the show, so please don't be shy. In today's episode, we're traveling all the way to Uppsala, Sweden, where we talk with folk musician Gabby from the Nordic folk rock band Fronder. I first learned about Fronder through Toronto-based producer and radio show host Dan Rosenberg. Shout out to Dan, who's been on the show and has a fantastic world music show of his own called Cafe International, which we broadcast on OHM Radio Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. So I was lucky enough to catch Fronder live when they were in the States performing at the Scandinavia House in New York City earlier this year. And I can tell you firsthand that you guys are in for a real treat. Not only is their music dynamic and fantastic live, it's also very thoughtfully rooted in Nordic folk music traditions, which we will dive into more detail in today's show. I'm excited to share with you Fronder's music, and without delay, let's dive into my conversation with Gabby. So where are you located right now?
I'm in Uppsala, Sweden.
Wow.
It's 40 minutes north from Stockholm, so it's pretty central.
Yeah, nice. I'm excited to dive into all the influences that you guys have and pull from with Fronder. But tell me some of the ways that you approach combining modern influences with the traditional sounds of Nordic folk music.
So I'm raised in a musician family, and I'm raised with popular music. When you are raised in a musician family, then usually you get exposed for a lot of different kinds of music, which is also the case for me. But I would say that my traditional music in my home, in my upbringing, was rock music, the classic rock music with the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and all of those great bands. But I was exposed to traditional music as well, and when I got a bit older, I got more and more interested, and here I am touring the world with traditional Swedish music. Or it's actually not really traditional, but it's based on traditional music. And our way of combining, or like trying to, I guess it's both combining but also developing, right? I mean, we try to combine modern music with traditional music, but we also try to combine it in a way where we don't really put two different genres together. We try to just develop the genre into like something new or something, something developed. But how we do this, we do it in different ways. I think it's been very important to really dig deep into what I'm doing. So when I was a really rock and metal head, I really dug really deep into that music, and I deep enough so I feel that I know this, properly know this. And with traditional music, when I started out more dedicated, it was the same. So I've been studying traditional music on a higher level and really trying to dig into the tradition and really learn what's it all about. And I think that's very important when trying to combine things and develop things, not to just, take something that you think sound cool, but you don't really know anything about it, because, that's also a way of doing it, and it might turn out super cool and super exciting and nice, but it also might turn out very not so nice.
Definitely. I definitely hear what you're saying. And I think it also, for the audience, when I saw you guys perform in New York, you were able to really give a background into the songs that you were performing and, you know, the influences and some of the traditions and, like, bits of history. And for the audience, that just makes such a... I love performances like that. I love hearing the background, you know, and all that. So I think it can make for a really powerful performance. So what kind of instruments are you guys using on this... on this album, your self-titled 2023 album, which we'll be playing songs from in a bit, but yeah, what are some of the instruments?
So we are a five-piece band. On the album, we are also a five-piece band, but with some guests. But we have I play the Swedish mandola. It's like a big mandolin, but that's the easy way of saying it. But it's a developed Irish bouzouki or Swedish bouzouki into another little branch of that family, instrument family. And then we have flutes, and my wife is playing the flutes and bagpipes and different pipes. She wasn't in New York, so you didn't meet her. We had a substitute in New York. And then we have fiddle. And we have double bass, my brother on the double bass, and on the album actually my sister is playing the fiddle and singing lead as well. She quit after this album. And then we have percussion, different types of percussion. We have a lot of hand percussion, but also more, you know, regular drum kit percussion with a bass drum and some toms, and yeah, so it's a bit different percussion. And then, of course, we all sing. We all sing.
Nice. Yeah, you guys, I guess it was it the five-piece? Was it five of you in New York when I saw you live?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and you guys, I mean, you had a great full sound. And the album I really enjoyed as well. I'm excited to play some of the music here. Back in the day, kind of segueing back into the music, traditional music you guys are inspired by, who were some of the people that maybe played some of this traditional music, and then what purposes did it play in society?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very, very good question, I think.
Thank you.
yeah. No, right on the core. So traditional music in Sweden, it was played on fiddle. So the most traditional instruments are flutes, singing, and eventually fiddle. And folk music and traditional music, like most of the times in most of the countries, it's purpose music. So for example, party music or cleaning music or walking music, sailing music. So you have kind of one song for each moment of the day or the week. But in Sweden, I mean, it was like this, but I would say what we are kind of focusing on now, when you're studying traditional music and you are like really digging deep into the tradition, depending on if you are an instrumentalist or a singer, then of course it's different. But if you're an instrumentalist, you will look at the fiddle, listen to the fiddle, and you will listen to all these old recordings and also go even deeper back and further back with studying sheet music. Because Sweden has, I think we have the biggest treasure of notated traditional music. I think we have passed 100,000 traditional songs or tunes in Sweden that are collected at a certain place in Stockholm. So that's a big treasure of traditional music. I mean, there are so many players. Of course, there are, like, you know, as history usually is, it's a lot of men talking about men, but we also do know that traditional music was spread by the women, because we have in Sweden, we have an old culture it's not only in Sweden, but there are a bunch of countries that has this, but Sweden was one of them, the herding culture. Women were herding the, or not, that's not true. Usually it was boys herding the cattle up the mountains during the summertime to get to find new places to find food for the cattle and the sheep and whatever it was. But up there, they had small primitive cottages where the women was living together with the children during the summer. So the men, they were down in the villages working and taking care of the fields and everything, while the women was up with the cattle and all the animals. And that's where the magic happened. So they were singing, they were playing, and they gave the tradition to the children, who then, so on in generations and generations. So the women was actually the main spreader of traditional music. But unfortunately, we mainly have male names and speaking about a lot of men.
That's really interesting. That paints a really nice picture of how the music kind of came to be. And so this kind of music, is this the music that really inspires you guys on this album, or would you say maybe it comes from somewhere else?
I would say that this album is a mixture of everything that we have been exposed to through our lives. Our idea with this album and with this music, with Fränder generally, the first album is a bit different, but if you listen closely to the first album, you can hear that it's basically, you know, the first steps towards what we are, where we are at now. And we are really interested in trying to find the borders. Like, where is the line? Like, how far can we go without crossing the line where it's not traditional music anymore? Because I think this album, Fränder, the second Fränder album, is a terrific traditional album. I mean, if we would strip this down, we would have really good good played traditional songs. Or, I mean, they are newly written. It's our original music, but it's, once again, based on traditional music. But I think we would have really good folk music if we strip down the album. But the idea here is to make, you know, the trad heads, they should, we want them to feel comfortable, like, okay, this is really good folk music, but we also want them to feel like, oh, but is this really folk music? Like, is this really, what is this really? Because, I mean, I hear it's Polska, I hear, like, the traditional meters, but is it really, because it's played so differently, it's with another attitude, it's like the arrangements and the world that we are creating within this album is different to what they are used to. But on the same time, we would like to invite, you know, rock heads or pop heads and make them feel the same. They will hear that, oh, I know this, I recognize this, but what is this? I mean, this is not pop music, this is not rock music, we are all acoustic, but the rock heads will still hopefully feel that, wow, this is a pretty heavy sound, and this is a pretty heavy riff, or this is a cool catchy melody, or whatever. Like, you know, I think you get my picture here.
Yeah.
So this is the idea of the album, trying to find where the borders are and how far can we go towards these borders without falling over.
Amazing. And before we dive in, I'm really excited to listen to some of this. But my last question in the realm of the traditional music and all of that is, why do you think it's important to continue the music traditions of your ancestors?
That's a good question, too. I think for me, maybe I'm a bit liberal on this, but I think music is music. I don't really think that way. Like, why should we continue playing something in the tradition? I mean, I do it because I like it. I think it's also exciting that it's an old tradition, but I don't really see people's identity is in tradition. Like, in the past, we find a lot, like a big part of our identity looking into the past and knowing the past, which I find very important. But I don't really see, if someone feel that this is old music and why should we play it, I would just say, yeah, sure, don't play it. Do something new. I just love this music. For me, this, you know, what I listened to at home when I, like 10 years ago, it was rock and metal, but nowadays it's a solo fiddle, like traditional fiddling. I find that as much appealing to me like a distorted electric guitar nowadays. For me, it's just a genre thing. I think it's a matter of expression and sounds and So I don't know if that's a good answer, but
that's a great answer. Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And really, there's no, you know, you can answer that any way you feel is aligns with your guys as artists. But I think that's a great answer. So let's dive in and check out this first track off. This is track number 3 off the album. Is there anything you want people to know about this tune?
Yeah, so this song is called En sommarkväll, which means one summer's evening. And this is a family band, and we are raised in a small village outside Uppsala called Håga. This village, I can tell you more about this village later, but it's a very cool village. It's located in a valley where there has been a village since 1300 before Christ, so Bronze Age. And this whole valley and this whole area is covered with how do you say, leavings from these times. But this song is about, we have a mill, we have a water mill just right beside the village, and it's from maybe 1800, and this song is a summer's evening around that water mill and all the magic that can happen.
Minnas fel, undrar vem som kommer längta tillbaks.
what would typically happen around the watermill, or was this a place of like parties, or what was the scene like?
You mean nowadays or back in the days?
Well, maybe both.
Well, I think back in the days it was just a watermill. No parties, just work. Nowadays, it's a pretty magical place. So we have it's a little waterfall, not this huge, you know, Niagara Falls waterfall, but a little stream, like really, really high stairs that you can walk up and down, and the stream is down there, and the watermill, and it's really a lot of bushes and trees hanging over the waterfall and the water and. I've been playing there so much when I was a teenager. There is a perfect place where you can put up a bonfire and you will hear the waterfall just rattling in the background. And it's a beautiful place. You never know what will happen there.
Amazing. Yeah. Sounds magical. Yeah, it sounds like a beautiful oasis with a lot of history. So, and for those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Travel Notes. This is a show where we use music as a medium to explore ways in which we're all connected. We broadcast every evening at 5 p.m. on WOHM Radio 96.3 FM. I'm here speaking with Gabby from Fronder, an incredible Swedish folk rock band, and we're diving into their self-titled 2023 album. This next song, and I'll need your help pronouncing it, but it's track number 5 off the album. Tell me a little bit about this one.
Yeah, so you chose the only Estonian track. So this is our band is a Swedish Estonian band. My wife is in the band and she's Estonian. And on this album we only have one Estonian song, but usually we play a bunch of Estonian songs, and this is called Uhtörina, which means silent night or gentle night, and it's a prayer. It's an old traditional lyric which we found, and no one really knows when it's from, but it's a couple of hundred years old at least, and it's a prayer for which you can sing for children, and just ask them for a peaceful night. And the chorus where we sing "Oi heli leli" means just tra la 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 or dum di dum di dum. It's just
cool. Yeah, like kind of a more of a like phonetic way to just kind of sing along. Very cool. Well, I'm excited to play this one. Hope you guys enjoy.
Vaikne hõde vaikne. vill utto huset. Jag har ju då väsin ole. Anna rahuonet tuule. Sydämet sala sovit. Lase lahkesta jeneta. Oi heli leli oi.
The Polska, track number 7.
Yeah.
And you gave us a little bit of background about the Polska music. For our listeners who maybe aren't familiar, could you maybe speak on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So I usually say, so when we are out playing, we are touring quite much in the world, and we always speak a lot about Sweden and our tradition and our music and stuff like that. And I usually say that there's one thing that is more Swedish than everything else. And then I let the audience make a list of what they know about Sweden. And usually it's IKEA and ABBA, Volvo, Zlatan. Yeah, you know, it's, and usually it's different things. Like usually every night there is a joker. So there's one thing that is unexpected. And sometimes there are things that we didn't even know of. But this one thing that is more Swedish than everything else is the Polska. And the Polska came from Poland. In 1600 it came to Sweden. And it went through Germany, and the Germans didn't like it at all. So they sent it onwards, upwards. And the Danes, they didn't really like it, so they also passed it on to Sweden. But when it came to Sweden, the Swedes, they were crazy about it. So suddenly everyone was started to speak or play Polska and dance Polska. So Polska is a dance tune, and it's a dance. But the funny thing here is that we have never stopped playing Polska since then, so since 1600. And the even more interesting thing is when you look at these type of things that are, you know, get stuck in a country for this many years, 400 years, usually it's presented by a king or an emperor or a president or whatever. But this time, the people started playing polska and dancing polska, and they were dancing and playing polska for 50 years before the noble people, like the, you know, the king and his court, started to recognize the polska. And then the king, he was getting married in Uppsala, our hometown, in the middle of 1600. And then he said, I want the Polish dance on my wedding. And after that, I think that was just, you know, the last thing that to manifest that we would never stop playing polskas in Sweden. So here we are 400 years later and we have never stopped playing polska.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. This is like the bottom up kind of music came from people and then made it up to nobility.
Yeah, I think it's extraordinary.
Yeah, truly. How do you pronounce this track?
So this one is called Kung Björn's Polska, King Björn, Björn, King Björn's Polska. Thank you. we have a fortress up in the woods behind the valley from 1300 before Christ as well. So like the whole area is covered with the signs from this time, and I think that might be the difference, that we still have it around us. But civilization, I mean, if you compare Sweden and Scandinavia around this time with Middle East, we are not civilized over here. It's like, you know, I mean, compared to Middle East, where they have the civilization at this time, we were just, you know, sleeping with our sheep and doing strange things. So, yeah.
So it's still so fascinating. And this final question is one that I ask everyone on the show, because we're a show that uses music as a medium to explore ways in which we're all connected. How do you think that music connects humanity, and why do you think music's important?
I think it connects people in every possible way. It's very clear when we are out touring, meeting a lot of people in different places in the world, how similar we are. The similarities are more than differences. Everything from, you know, our traditional music. Just look at the traditional music. When we were touring Guatemala, for example, I mean, of course it's different, but you can also hear that it's so similar. And that the instruments they are playing the same. Like, of course they are a bit different, but they also have 6 whole flutes, and they also have some type of bagpipe or something similar. You know, they have, it's so many similarities out there, and I never cease to amaze me how similar we are. Same with, you know, traditional costumes. I think that might be even more similar, like Guatemala once again, like the, you know, the fabric they are using, the colors. Of course the colors are different, but because they have these really bright, beautiful colors in Guatemala, but in Sweden they also are super colorful, these skirts or whatever they do for the girls. I mean, they are super beautiful and colorful, and it's the same fabric, but it's a bit different, of course, but it's so similar. So I think it's amazing to see how connected we are. And I think when listening to music, and especially as we spoke of earlier, this album, trying to find borders, like where the borders are, and pushing the borders to other genres, modern genres, it's also so fascinating to see how close our traditional music is to modern music, or maybe the other way around, the modern music is close to traditional music. You can really hear where people has gotten their influences. So I think it's super fascinating, and I love these type of meetings and exploring our similarities. And music is important because of this. This is the reason why music is important. We need to make music to connect and make friends, and to remember that we are similar, not different.
Mm. Yes, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I just did like an air high five. I was But I really couldn't agree more. It's I agree, like music helps find common ground, and that's one of the reasons, I really actually started this whole show, was to discover that and hopefully help foster that and, you know, connect that for other people. But, well, tell me what you guys have, what any upcoming tours, do you have any new music in the works? What do you guys have going on?
Yeah, so we just got back from tour 2 days ago.
Oh, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. And now we have a little time off. And then in the end of March, we are organizing our own festival. So we run our own festival in Uppsala, in Håga, our home village. We do it twice a year. It's an international festival as far as we can afford it. But we try to invite international bands. So 23rd of March, we are doing that in Håga, Uppsala. We have a lot of things going on. We have new music in the works. We are going to record a new album soon, but we don't really know exactly when yet. We are back in Canada in July on tour on the West Coast, end of July. And we are back in US in September for 2 weeks. And then we will be back in the US in January as well. And then we have a bunch of other, we are going to Belgium in August, and we are, we have a Sweden tour in October, and some other. Yeah. It's a pretty busy year, or like first half of this year is pretty chill after this tour and after the festival, but then from like the mid-year, from June until New Year's, it's just crazy. I don't know how we will manage, but it's crazy.
It'll be exciting. Are you in the state? Where are you guys? Are you coming to the East Coast at all in your U.S. tour?
In January, yes. In
New York again?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we are doing a bunch of shows in New York during January, actually. We are doing Lincoln Center and Scandinavia House again. And
fantastic. That's awesome. Well, where can people keep up to date with you guys online and find your music and all that good stuff?
Well, so our music should be everywhere on Spotify and Apple Music and Bandcamp and so on. You can also send us an email and we can send you a physical copy if that's something that someone would prefer. Or buy from the record company Nordic Notes in Germany. We are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we are planning on getting on the TikTok wave a bit late, but we are not really there yet. We are on YouTube, we have a bunch of material that we are going to release now on YouTube during this year, live stuff and music videos and stuff like that. So that's a recommendation if you're into also watching music, listening and watching.
Awesome. Well, Gabby, thank you again for joining me on the conversation and the show. And so I've been really looking forward to featuring you guys, and I'm excited for this episode. I just appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me. It was great to meet you in New York and now talk again, and looking forward to next time.
Same, likewise. For listening. I hope you enjoyed our trip to Sweden and conversation with Gabby from Fronder. As always, you can find us on social media at travelnotes_podcast or at my website, gracemcnallymusic.com. And if you're just tuning in on the radio, you can stream this entire episode and more on all podcast platforms under Travel Notes. Big thank you to OHM Radio 96.3 FM for broadcasting the show. And until next time, wishing you peace, harmony, and smooth travels wherever this crazy adventure of life takes you.